Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Tes. Daf Yud Tes in Perek HaKori L'Mafreya. And we are, again, as has been mentioned, every daf, these dafim now, as we start B'Shem, today we're finishing up in Yoni Megillah. Starting tomorrow, basically, we are doing other items as well, as we'll see the Mishnah tomorrow. But today we have a few more important points of Yoni Megillah. Okay, Yud Chesem Abeis, four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara had just been talking about halachas of writing a Megillah, that you have to write a Megillah, and other svar maybe by looking at another one, by looking at an old one. You can't just write a Sefer Torah, you can't just write a Megillah, you have to look at an old one and copy from there. So says the Gemara, Abaya, four lines from the bottom, Abaya sharet l'debeirit barchabu l'michta filin mezuzah shalom naksav. Abaya allowed debay bar chavu to write tefillin and mezuzahs without writing it from a previous tefillin and mezuzah, but just to do it, to write it themselves. Kaman ki haitana, the Tanya, Rabbi Yirmiya, Omer, Mishir Rabbeinu, like the following opinion says you don't have to. Tefillin and mezuzahs nechtava shalom aneksav. Tefillin and mezuzahs can be written shalom aneksav, meaning by heart, not based on a previous text. Ve'ein sricho sirtut. And one does not have to do sirtut. Sirtut is the marks on the klaf lines to make sure that that you write straight and you don't write diagonally down. So before a sofer writes anything, generally he makes lines to make sure that he writes straight. Again, there is a question in the postgame: is sirtut purely just to make sure that everything goes straight, or is there something more substantive, something conceptual about that sirtut, or is it purely just to keep straight? Again, not our issue now. In the first parak of Maseches Gittin, that's what many of the Rishonim discuss. But here it says tefillin and mezuzah can be written shalom aneksav, and you don't need sirtut. The hilchas, what's the halacha? Tefillin ain't srichin sirtut, mezuzos srichin sirtut. The halacha says the Gemara, there's a difference between tefillin and mezuzah. Tefillin does not need sirtut. Mezuzah tzrich sarach sirtut. Idi ve'idi nechtavu shalom anaksav. But both tefillin and mezuzah can be written without looking in a previously written tefillin and mezuzah. Unlike the Torah. My timer migris garisin. Why? Because tefillin and mezuzah are so, everybody knows the Lashon, and everybody knows Shema and Vahim Shemoas. That's why one is allowed to write a shalom anaksav. Again, this is assuming, I guess, also that we know the other two parshias very well in tefillin, in Kaddish and Mahayi Kiviyacha, which there's a minog, the Achronim quote, to say those two parshias also, either right when you put on your tefillin or right before you take off your tefillin, but it's Mikras Gerisin on all four parshias, which are in the tefillin, so that's why it can be written Shalom and Aksav. There's a Machlokas Rishonim, does Sefer Torah require Sirtut? Chayiv in Sirtut. Tosfos in Maseches Gittin on Davav. Rabbeinu Tam says that Sefer Torah does not need Sirtut. Our Gemara doesn't talk about Sefer Torah. It's mechalik between tefillin and mezuzah. So Rabbeinu Tam says it does not need, but the Rambam holds that it does need. The Rambam says it needs Sirtut. The Brisker Rav seems to say that that's part of the definition of a Sefer Torah, that you have to do Sirtut. Okay, that was finishing up yesterday's sugya. Ha'isak suba b'sam, last line. Now we get back to what was written in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said on Daf Yud Zayin that you have to, if you write it in Sam Sikra Kumus Kankantom, which are inferior types of inks, so those are not allowed to be used. Or if you write it on Niyar or Diftara, which are inferior types of cloth, so also you're not allowed to do it until it's written on Sefer, which is a real cloth, and Dio with real ink. So now the Gemara is just going to say, what are some of these materials? Sam is Sama. Sakra, Amar Abba Bar Barchana, Sikra Sashma. It's some type of red ink that you dye with. Kumus, Kuma. Kankantom, Charsa de Ushrafi. Kankantom, Rashi explains, it's black shoe polish that the shoemakers use to blacken the shoes. Those are the inks. So now we have the... what about the klafim, the materials you write on? Diftara. What's diftara? It is unprocessed klaf. When you process a klaf, we've been speaking a couple weeks ago, we spoke on Shabbos, about the malacha of ma'abid, the malacha of tanning. That's part of the processing, going from animal skin to hides to klaf. What do? You got to process it in a salty solution and in other solutions. So diftara is unprocessed hides, the maliach, the kamiach, it was salted, the kamiach, for the word kemach, with the flour, it was put in the flour and water solution, flow off it, so it was not put in the gallnut solution. They used to put it in a heavy material, every solution of gallnuts, and it was not done. That's diftar, and that cannot be used for a Megillah. Niyar, machka. Niyar is machka. It's a type of, Rashi quotes, minasavim asli yadei devek. You put a bunch of grasses together to write on, so that is also not able to be used for a Megillah. Until, what does the last line of the Mishnah say? Until you write it, biksav ashuris, in Hebrew, on niyar with dio. Dechsiv, why does it have to be Iksav Ashuris? Dechsiv Kizmanam, Kichsavam v'Kizmanam. As it is written at in its time. So Kichsavam means it has to be in Ashuris. The Pnei Yeshua on this line in the Mishnah says, you see from here that even though we said yesterday and the day before that Loaz is the laws, that you're allowed to write, you're allowed to say Biyotze Kriyas Megillah, either in Hebrew, or if you understand another language, you could be also in another language, but it has to be written in our Hebrew letters. Ksav Ashuris. That must be, says the Pnei Yeshua, what this extra line of the Mishnah is telling me. So if I want to write it in English, it has to be an exact translation. It has to be, and it was in the days of Achashverosh, so it has to be written in the Hebrew letters, and it was in the days of Achashverosh. It can't be written in English. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's what you see from this extra line. Sh'osios atzman tzrichan sh'iya b'ksav Ashuris, even though the Megillah can be written in Shal HaShonos, that doesn't have to do with the Ksav, because this last line of the Mishnah is talking about the Ksav. Ksav, it's Dio, it's Sefer, so that's what he assumes, that has to be written in the Ksav Ashuris. Okay, Ala Sefer B'Dio, fourth line. So it has to be written on Klaf, in ink. V'chulu min alon. How do you know that it has to be written in this? Asya Ksiva Ksiva, because you get a Zereshav Ksiva Ksiva. So he mentioned a couple days ago that the Ramban said that Zereshav is written in the Torah and also Megillas Esther. So here you have one to say for Yirmiyahu. So Ksiv Hacha, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka wrote the Megillah. Ksiv Hasam, but Yomer Lahem Baruch. Baruch, from Navi and Sefer Yirmiyahu. Mipiv Yikra Elias called Varma Eila, Vanikosiv Al Sefer B'Dio. So I'm writing Megillas Eicha. He says, I'm going to write it all down. So you see there the verb Ksiva is used with the word Sefer. So too, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka must be Sefer, and it means a halachic Sefer. Yeah. Everybody agrees that Gzeir Shavas are from our Misora. They start from Moshe. How can they be a machlokas about Gzeir Shavas?
Well,
so is that all from?
Exactly,
which words? Which words are?
How would this originate?
Right. Obviously, this one's not. Right. This one's not all the way back. This is not all the way back, unless you say that the tools for doing it were given. And not every Gzeir Shavas was. Right. But you're right. Obviously, it wasn't. Unless this. Right. I mean, obviously, both of them are weren't around then. Okay. I'm not sure. Yeah. Right, but a lot of them they could have been around for Moshe Rabbeinu. Here you have two Asvarim in Tanakh which weren't around by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask the Rashba, I'm sorry. Hosifu, right, Hosifu Mikra Megillah. Could be this was one of the only ones. This was included in that. Ask the Rashba here, why do you need a Zerah Shava here? From Esther to Yirmiyahu. What are you Shava for? The Pasik by Yirmiyahu is talking about Vani Kosev Allah Sefer B'Dio. So ask the Rashba, Vim Tomar, if the Tabak Lemishim did a great Sefer, for Sefer Torah, Tzricha Sefer B'Dio. The Megillah itself is called a Sefer. We're going to have later on in the Daf. It's called Sefer, it's called Igeres. So you don't have to have a Gzeir Shava, that it's the word Ksiva is used by the word Sefer. So what do you have to come off to the Gzeir Shava for? It says Ksiva here, it says Sefer in the Megillah. Therefore, that should be enough. Says the Rashba, Yeshlomar, no. Because it's also called Igeres, which we're going to have later on the Amud, so that might balance it out. It's called Sefer. We know there are some halachas that it has to be like a real Sefer Torah, some halachas that it doesn't have to be. So we might have put this on the side of Igeres, not on the side of Sefer. That's why it has to have that. But there is a Brisker Rav. There is a Brisker Rav that has another point, that we're going to talk more about this Bez Hashem on Shabbos. So this is one of the Rayas, what for his Yesod, but hopefully we'll have more about it Bez Hashem on Shabbos. It says the Brisker Rav in Hilchus Megillah. He quotes, Dehine Matsinu Tre Dine Ksivas HaMegillah. He says, really, there are two aspects and mitzvahs of Ksivas HaMegillah. Because he has a different question based on this Gemara. He said, but it says the word Sefer by Baruch. So he says, why do you even have to have a Gzeir Shava? That word Sefer is talking about Eicha. Eicha is one of the Kisvi HaKodesh. Esther is one of the Kisvi HaKodesh. So if you already see that there, one of the Kisvi HaKodesh has to be written on Klaf and Dio because it's called Sefer, so it should apply to all Kisvi HaKodesh. Why would Esther be different than Eicha? That's his question, not like the Rashba's question. So why do you need this Gzeir Shava at all? Says the Brisker Rav, because unlike other Shaar Kisvei HaKodesh, Megillah, there are two aspects of writing it. There are two mitzvahs of Ksivas HaMegillah. Number one is the mitzvah of Ksiva, to imbue it with general Kedusha of all Kisvei HaKodesh. Just like every Navi, every Megillah has Kedusha, an Eicha, Yirmiyahu, Yoshua, Shoftim, every Navi has Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's number one. And that's how the Gemara in Baba Basra lists off all the Nevi'im and all the Ksuvim and what's in the canon. But number two, there is a second Kedusha. V'sheinis ikadin misuyam shal ksivas ha-megillah. Besides the mitzvah to write a Megillah to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh, there's a mitzvah to write a Megillah to be a Megillah that you can learn from to help you fulfill your mitzvah. So if you think about it, there is no other sefer in Tanakh that there is a mitzvah to read. Okay, we have a minhag to read the Megillah, and we read Haftorah as a din d'rabbanan also, but a real chiyuv gavra on each person is only by the Megillah. So says the Briskarav, but based on that, there's a second mitzvah of ksiva. There's a ksiva which imbues it with general Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, and there's a ksiva that imbues it with specific Kedusha in order to be able to read and fulfill your mitzvah with. And he says it could go either way. Sometimes some halachos are needed for the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, that it shares with all the other ksavim, but there are other halachos that maybe are needed specifically for Megillah Kisvei HaKodesh. So he says, again, he has a longer piece here, which we'll talk about another time, but he says that's why the Gemara here needs the Gzeirah Shavah. Because with just that other pasuk, if you would have just had the other pasuk, fine, you would have known that you need this to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. But maybe it could have been that you could have been Yotzei your Megillah reading even without this. Even without this, maybe your mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, you wouldn't have had to bring it to the level of Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's why you needed the Gzeirah Shavah to say that no, even regarding the specific Megillah context, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, you need it to be written on Sefer in Zio, etc. That's what he says. At the end of all, Zehu debug Gzeirah Shavah, the Ksiva Ksiva, the Lamed al Din Ksiva Sam Megillah Atzma, Shagam Hi, Eina Rak al Sefer Ubetio. It's in the Fidushi Maran Riz Alevi al Rambam. That is something, again, we'll discuss it more on Shabbos, but that's this the Griz on this Gemara.
How about Eicha? Are you supposed to read it to feel the
Avedis? Eicha, it's a minhag to read it. Again, we don't make a bracha on it. The Vilna Gaon says that you make a bracha on all the Megillas and you read it from a klaf. But again, we're supposed to do anything to get us into the mood. But it's not Me'ikir Hadin. Me'ikir Hadin was supposed to be Mis'abel. How are we Mis'abel? So that's a little more flexible, depending what we're allowed to read Dvarim Harayim, we're allowed to read items that get us in the mood. Okay, there is one more discussion in the post-Gemara on these few lines of the Gemara. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka. Could a woman write a Megillah? We have a pasuk. Nothing better than that. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka wrote. So says the Prima Gadim. She can write the Megillah. Number one, because it's a pasuk. Number two, says the Prima Gadim, because why are there some shitas, Tosfos and Gittin says, why can't a woman write a Sefer Torah? Why can't a woman write Tefillin and Mezuzahs? Because they're mufka from the mitzvah. They're pater from the mitzvah. They're pater. And kol she'ena mechuyev b'davar cannot create the object, cannot create the chetzah shel mitzvah. So therefore, says the Prima Gadim here, afinoy bosanes, they are obligated. Yeah, okay, it might relate to what does afin ha'yu do? Does it put them into the regular mitzvah? We discussed on Daf Dalet. But
also with the Brisker Rav said, maybe in terms of the right of guilt to do the mitzvah.
Beautiful, relating it to that. Okay, according to what the Brisker Rav says Yisrael, maybe they could get you into the specific mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, that ksiva they could do, but they can't create the ksiva for all Kisvei HaKodesh because they're part of the Tabal Torah. Maybe the Birka Yosef is not as sure, but the Megray Kodesh has one ha'ara. He says, don't bring this pasuk as a raya. Batichtov Esther HaMalka. Rasi Pesach Frank writes, because there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that is discussing on Daf Chav Zayin about a woman doing Bris Milah. And the Gemara there brings a raya. What about a pasuk in the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu, what did it say? Vatikach tziporet sar, vatichros azar lasbina. Right? Tziporet took a rock and she did bris milah. So the Gemara says, aye, there's no better raya than that. So the Gemara says, no. Vatichros could be understood as meaning she was mitzaveh to do it and they did it under her rishus. But it doesn't even have to mean that she did it. So it says the Shif Pesach, if it works by milah, it could work here too. Vatichlav Esther HaMalka, you don't have to take it so literally. Maybe it means she commanded them to do it. So each says that, don't bring me a raya from the pasuk. Whatever you want to say, she can't, based on Svaris, okay, but don't bring me Arayas from the Pasuk. That's in Siman Lamed Gimel in Mikrai Kodesh. Okay, Mishnah. Ben Ir Shehalach L'Krach, Ben Krach Shehalach L'Ir. a ben ear that's chayav to read the Megillah on Yudal. It goes to a krach that he's chayav to read on Tezvav, or vice versa. Im osid lachzer limkomo, korekim komo. If he is osid, if he's planning to go back to his place, when? We'll see. He should read like his place. If he's planning to go back, he should read like where he's from. V'imlav koreimon. But if he's not planning to go back, then he should read like where he is. Part one. Part two. We'll get back to part one in the Gemara. Part two of the Mishnah. How much of the Megillah do you have to read to be Yotzei? The Tosefta says that obviously the whole thing l'chadchila. But on a b'di'evid level, how much of the Megillah do you have to read? Three opinions, and we'll have more in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. Rabbi Meir says the whole thing. That's what we paskin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer may ish Yehudi. No, only from where Mordechai comes on the scene. That's where the Ikar HaMitzvah is. Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar Advar Ma'ela. No, only when Haman comes onto the scene in Paragimel. Okay, three different opinions. We'll see in the Gemara that they're all based on Psukim. Amar Rava, getting back to what it said. Okay, important lines in the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah said that if you're planning to go back, then you got to read like where you're from. If you're not planning to go back, then you read like where you are. Says Rava, Lo Shanu. And again, first we're going to read the Gemara according to Rashi. There's Rashi, the Rush, the Rif. Maybe we'll just there's a lot. There's many different shitas here, and it's complicated. And it turns halacha lemaisa. What do you do if you're somebody from Yerushalayim outside of Yerushalayim, vice versa? So again, it's a huge discussion on halacha. We're going to touch on it. We're going to do Rashi and the Rush. Amar Rava, let's do Rashi. Lo Shanu Ela Sha'asid Lachzer B'Leil Yudalit. When do we say, Rashi says, let's say you have a ben krach shahalach la'ir. You have somebody from Yerushalayim that went and is outside of Yerushalayim is in Beit Shemesh. Right? Somebody from Yerushalayim is in Beit Shemesh. So when do you say that if he has in mind to go back, then he only reads like where he's from? He's a Tezvav man. So when do we say that if he's planning to go back, so then he should only read on Tezvav? Lo shanu el sh'os lachzar b'lel yudalid. That's only if he's going to go back that night. Ben Yerushalayim is in Beit Shemesh on the 14th, on the Leil 14th, on the night of Purim, and he's planning to go back to Yerushalayim before daybreak. Before daybreak on the morning of the 14th. So if he's planning to go back that night, when it's still nighttime on Yudalit, so then we say, you know what, he's a Ben Tezvav, he does not have to read now. Even though everybody else in the neighborhood is going out to read Megillah, he can stay home and learn. He can stay home and learn, he doesn't have to go read, as long as he's planning to go back to Yerushalayim before daybreak on Yudalit. That's Rashi. Aval ein asid lachzer b'leil abrasar. But let's say he's planning to go back in the morning. He's sleeping over at his friend's. He's going to be here till after Amud HaShachar on Yudalid. Says Rashi. Says the Gemara according to Rashi. Then no. Then tough. He's considered a Ben Yudalid for now also. And he's got to read on Yudalid. He goes back then. Okay, I'll read then too. But again, that is Shitas Rashi. That if, again, we're talking about a Ben Krach that goes to the Ben Ear. And if the Ben Krach is in the Ear on the night of the 14th, but he's planning to go back before daybreak, then he reads like he usually does on the Tezvav. But if he's planning to stay there, at least on the morning of Yudalid, then he has to read like them. Rashi then adds, the same thing would apply in the opposite direction. In the middle of the Rashi Aval, Hu adin leben ir shahalach lekrach. A ben ir, let's say somebody from Beit Shemesh, goes to Yerushalayim, and he is there, so then it goes by the 15th. Let's say a Ben Ir is in Yerushalayim on the night of Shushan Purim. He's there on the night of the 15th, but he's planning to go back home before daybreak. So he does not have to read on the 15th. So he doesn't read on the 15th. Doesn't have to read again. Already read already in Tezvav. But let's say he's there on the 15th. Doesn't have to read on the 15th. But if he's going to be there until the morning, so then he has a chiyuv to read then as the 15th as well. The Ikar according to Rashi is that it also goes by a certain amount of time of day that you're in the place. When it comes to a ben krach shahalach La ear, it goes by if you're there a little on the day of the 14th. If it's the ben ear shahalach lekrach, it goes by if you're there a little bit on the 15th. Why does it go by daytime? Because the Ritva says the Iker Zman of reading the Megillah is daytime. We had on Daf Dalad. Tosas already said that. The Iker Kriyas of Megillah is the daytime reading. Obviously, we have to do both, right? The Reb Shua ben Levi says you got to read it twice, but that is the daytime reading is Iker. The Rush has just a little ha'ara, a little machlokas with Rashi on one of the details. On Rashi's second case, Rashi says, if you have a Ben Yerushalayim, let's say, I'm sorry, that was the first case. If you have a Ben Ir, somebody from Beit Shemesh that goes to that goes to Yerushalayim. So Rashi there says it goes by the 15th. If you're there the night of the 15th but planning to go back, then you're just like your own city. But if you are going to be there on the morning of the 15th, says Rashi, so then you have to go by the 15th and you have to read there too. Says the Rush, no. Even a Ben Ir, Shehalach Lekrach, goes by the 14th. Meaning, if, I read it to you, the Rush says, where's the Rush? Says the Rush, Ukemosha Moala ben Krach, Leos keben ir, Kishamasha Lelabasar, just like a ben Krach, somebody from Yerushalayim that goes out of Yerushalayim. The night of the 14th and the morning of the 14th is the determining factor. And if you're going to be there the morning of the 14th, then so what? You're from Yerushalayim. You got to read it today because you hear Bizman Hachiyev. So too, Moel leben ir, Shahalach lekrach. If you have a ben ir, you have somebody from Yerushalayim that goes to, somebody from outside of Yerushalayim that goes to Yerushalayim. Va'amachaman mixas Yom Yudalid, and he's there on part of Yom Yudalid. Let's say you have somebody from Beit Shemesh that goes to Yerushalayim, and he's there the night of the 14th and the morning of the 14th. So because he's in Yerushalayim on the morning of the 14th, that makes him, because he's not with his own people at the moment that his own people's chiyuv started, so he's considered a ben krach, and he lands on the 15th. So the Rashi and the Rush argue, when you have a ben ir shahalach lekrach, is the crucial daytime that's needed, the 14th or the 15th. The Rush says everything goes by the day of the 14th, depends where you are, that's the chalos achiyuv, and the Rashi says that no, the ben ir shahalach lekrach goes by the 15th, it always goes by where you are, not where you are from. Okay, there are a lot more shitas. I just wanted to give those two. But halacha lemaisa, you know, one has to look in Shulchan Aruch and figure out exactly, ask a posek, when he's going to be there and when he's going to leave. It's complicated that, you know, when one has to hear Megillah. But what we do get out of all the shitas is that the daytime, even if you're in a specific place for a little amount of a day, 14th or 15th, one of those days, that's enough for you to be considered a resident of that place, and therefore you'd have to hear the Megillah on that day.
And if he's leaving on that afternoon, before night,
if he's leaving on that afternoon,
Yerushalayim on the 14th and 14th, like Ben Ashmosh is coming back.
Again, he's in Yerushalayim on the 14th.
The 14th, he's
becoming. What could you try to lose out on both Kriyas? You're asking. Could you like try to be on the 14th in Yerushalayim and on the 15th outside? So again, the post could discuss. It can't be. It can't be that you're gonna could you like take a plane, you know, to Australia and you're gonna.
No, he's going to Yerushalayim on the 14th.
Meaning there's no chiyuv in Yerushalayim, right? And he was there before nightfall, and he's there throughout the day. Right, so that's the machlokas Rashi the Rush. According to the Rush, once he's there on the 14th, that he's considered a ben Yerushalayim. He has to read it like a Yerushalayim. According to Rashi, but so what? So what? He's going to still have to read it. Right, according to the Rush, yeah, according to the Rush, that would be a machlokas Rashi the Rush. That would be the machlokas Rashi and the Rush. Amar Rava mina aminola. Rava says, where do you know that if you're in a place only for a little bit amount of time during the day, that's enough for you to be considered a resident of that place? Tchsiv, alkena yudima prazim ayoshim ba'aria prazos. The double lashon. The Jews that are in the open cities that live in the open cities. Michdi. Ksiv ayudim haprazim. Lomali lemichtav ayoshim ba'aria prazos. What's the extra lashon of the city in the Oyoshi Aprazos, Hakamashmal and the Pruz Ben Yomo, Kari Pruz, that showed that if you are in a Pruz just for one day, you're also called a resident of the Pruz of the open city. Ashikhan Pruz Mukaminala, and so fine, I know that if you're in the open city just for a little bit, you're considered a resident for that day. How do I know the same thing applies by a walled city? Mukach minalan. So the Gemara says, Svaru, what's the difference? Svara. Meet the Pruz ben Yomo, Kari Pruz, Mukach ben Yomo, Kari Mukach. So the din is that if you're in a place for a little bit of the day, so that's good enough. So it'll apply to any kind of city.
So why does Halacha doesn't apply to Yontif also?
So Yontif is different. There's Isser Malach, it's not just a Chovas Gavar to do Kriya. There's a Minag of Chumriz Mimakam Shahalach Misham. There's a chumra amak shalach misham. Therefore, if I have an isur malacha from where I came from, then the halachas would be different. There is a discussion also in the Achronim. It's amazing. Let's take Rashi Shita. So on the night of the 14th, I'm from Yerushalayim. So I'm the night of the 14th. I'm sitting in Beit Shemesh, but I'm going back home to Yerushalayim before daybreak. So everybody else is going to shul and I can stay home. Isn't there losis go to do? There is a losis go to do. Everybody else is doing something and I'm not. I don't have to. After Turi Evan, isn't this losis go to do? So Rabbi Yonasan ben Lunel, one of the Rishonim, say there's no losis go to do ba'akroi, only b'kfias. There's a b'kfias permanently. You know, that could be a losis go to do. But just once in a while, if something happens, there's no losis go to do. But the two, I'm sorry? Altifrish ben Atzibur, but Altifrish ben Atzibur might be more of a hashkafic sentiment. But losis go to do is halachic. It's not allowed to do it. So the Torah Avin himself says, no, he quotes a Rush, where the Rush says, Losis go to do is only when there are two opinions, two minhagim following two different opinions. There's a machlokas about something. And two opinions are being followed in the same place. But the Rush says, if there's just a halacha that has different ramifications for depending who you are, that's not Losis go to do. Everybody knows, oh, that you do this, and you do that, then you're from here. That's not Losis go to do. So only if there's a machlokas, but not if there are just two minhagim based on one halacha. So that's why there is no Losis go to do in this case. Okay, V'yama Rava, continuing. Ben Kfar Shalach La'ir. Let's say you have a Ben Kfar. Ben Kfar, one of our villagers, he read it on the 12th day of Adar, right? He read it on the Yom HaKnisa. But then, oh, what happened? He happened to be in the city on Purim. So does he have to read it again? That's Rashi's shot at the Gemara. Ben Kfar Shalach La'ir, Ben Kacho, Ben Kach, Kore Yimayin. The Gemara says, yeah, you got to read it again. Why? My time up. Hi, Kibnei Ha'ir, boy, Lemikre. Really, this villager should read it on the 14th. He's like Bnei Ha'ir. Rabbanu tekila al kvar. There's a special kula on the villagers that they were allowed to read earlier. Kadesh Yisab Kumayan Muslim Lachem Shebekrachin, like we had earlier, because they give food and they sustain all of their brethren in the Krachin, so we allow them to read it earlier. But Hani Miliki Isa Beduchte, that's only if when Purim comes around, he's in his place. We don't make him schlep. But if you happen to be in the town, in the city, so then you're going to have to read like the city people again.
Can he read for everybody else?
At least, can he read for everybody else? Good question. Read for everybody else. Lachori is Mechuyev. But no, the point was that there's nobody in the villagers that know how to read. Right? So that's what maybe you learned in the past 4 days. I'm saying, but that's the whole point. If according to Rashi Pshat, if he knew how to read, then he wouldn't be considered villagers by definition. They don't know how to read. That's why they need somebody else to read for them. Esve Abaya, Abaya says, 1 second, Avakasha. Ben Krach, Shalach Le'ir, Ben Kohuvenga, Kari Kim Komo. A Ben Krach that goes to an ear, Ben Krach is a Tezvav man, goes to a city, so he has to read a Kim Komo. Like his place. Ben Krachzal Kadayat, the Gemara says, what's the Braisa talking about? Bim Asid Lachzal Talia Milsa. We just said it depends whether you're going to go back or not. So obviously there's a mistake in the Braisa. Se'elolav, it must be that there must be a mistake. Ben Kfar. It must be that the Ben Krach must be changed to Ben Kfar. And what do you see? It says, he just reads like his place. Right? He doesn't have to read it again. So the Gemara says, Vlav Tiruti Mitaritzt. Didn't we just say there's a mistake in the Braisa? So you know what? There must be a mistake in the whole thing. Not just about who, but Tani Kari Yimahin. Change the Braisa to say that he reads with them, not that he's Kore Kim Komo. Period. Next, two dots. Nechon Kore Adam is a Megillah. From where does one read the Megillah? We have the three different sheetahs in the Mishnah. Do you read from the beginning, or from Mordechai's story, or from Haman's story? Tanya, Rav Shurma Yechai Omer, Mi Balayla Hahu. You read from a fourth opinion. You read from Belalahu Nadar Shnasa Melech. That's where you have to read from. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mekulan Mikra Echa Darsha. Rabbi Yochanan says all of these opinions are based on the same pasuk. Vatichtov Esther Amalko Mordechai Yehudi is called Tokef. Esther and Mordechai wrote all the powerful nisim, the powerful maisim. So what are we? Whose powerful actions? So Madamar Kulo Tokef Shalach Hashverus, the one who says you have to read all the Megillah because he understands this pasuk of Tokef of the entire powerful actions of Achashverus, which is really from the beginning of the Megillah. Umadamar Mishihudi Tokef Shal Mordechai, the one who says you have to read it from Mishihudi, the Iker is to read the Mordechai story, his powerful actions. Madamar Meachas Rama Elo Tokef Shal Haman. With Perek Gimel, you have to read the powerful actions of Haman. Uman Damar, Balayla Hahu, Tok Voshonei. So the one who says Balayla Hu, that's when the Yeshua starts, when he couldn't sleep. So that shows, that's according to that opinion, you have to read the powerful actions of the Nes of Purim. Rav Huna Amar Mehach, Rav Huna has a different shot of what all of these shitas are based on. Ma'ra'u al-kacha u'mahigiyu aleyem. The pasuk says, why was the Megillah written? To explain why people acted in certain ways and what their ultimate what came to them, or what came of them. So, again, who are we talking about? Who is this pasuk referring to? Manda Amar Kula, the one who said you read the whole Megillah, says that this pasuk is referring to Achashverosh, what he did, and what became of him. Ma'ra Achashverosh in Ishtamish Bekelem Shal Beis HaMikdash, Al-Kacha, why, that, what did he do? He decided to use the Kelem of the Beis HaMikdash, Mishun Dechashiv Shivim Shanin Velo Ifruk, as we had earlier in the Masechta, because he calculated, or miscalculated, the 70 years, and they weren't redeemed. So that's the first part of the pasuk, that's what he did. Umahigi Aleim, and what happened to them? Dekatal Vashti. That Vashti was killed, that's something that affected Achashverosh, not just something that affected Vashti, but we assume that his whole personality was affected by the fact that his wife was killed, or he had his wife put to death. So That's the first opinion. That's the Achashverosh. You have to read the whole Megillah. Umad Ramish Yehudi. One of the ones that says is from Ish Yehudi, the Mordechai story. So what did Mordechai do and what happened to Mordechai? Ma Ra Mordechai, what did Mordechai do? To Ikni Bahaman Al Kacha, that he caused Haman to become jealous. To Shavi Nafshi Avodah Zarah, since Haman made himself into an Avodah Zarah. He had an Avodah Zarah around his neck, as Chazal say. We know what happened to Mordechai, that the amazing nace occurred. We'll talk about that line in a minute. Let's just finish. What about according to the opinion that says, you have to read from Haman. What happened to Haman? That Haman was enraged about all the Jews. Because Mordechai would not bow down. And what happened to him? That he and his sons were killed, were hanged. Umanda Amar Balaila Hu, from what about from that pasuk? Mara Achashverosh Lavi Sefer Zachronos Al Kacha. Why did Achashverosh bring the Sefer Zachronos? This Aminte La Esther Haman La Bahadeh, because as we had earlier, he started having second thoughts when Haman was invited to the party with Esther. He wonders, why is Haman invited? Maybe they're planning to assassinate me. Does anybody know? Would anybody tell me if they knew of an assassination plot? So that's why the whole story happened, as we had earlier. Umahigi Alandis Rachash Nisan. What happened? The Nase occurred. Periods, we have all these different shittas. So it says here that Haman, as we know, Chazal say that the Haman wore an Avodah Zarah on his neck, and therefore Mordechai would not bow down. So the question that is dealt with by the poskim is that, so what about the other tzaddikim of the generation? So who was right? And what were they based on? If you look in the Ramah in Yoredeya, the Ramah in Simin Kuf Nun in Yoredeya says, what happens if you meet a priest? If you meet a priest or a reverend and he has a getchka or he has a cross around his neck, you'll have to like give him shalom and bow down in front of him, saying hello. That's there. That's how we say hello. So you'll have to do that. Halacha lemaisa. So the Ramah quotes a machlokas. The Ramah quotes two deos, and he says we should be machmir. The Ramah quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. Sarim o kohanim sheyesh lahem tsuros avodas kochavim bibigdehem o shenosim tsuras chama lifnehem, whatever type of avodah zara kiderach hegmonim. Aser lehishtachavos lahem. Now let it bow down to them, says the Ramah. Ola hasir hakova lifnehem. Or to take off your hat as way of covet. Rak bederach she'eno nire. The only way you could do it is if it's not recognizable that that's what you're doing. Kamoshin is pazir ma'osav. Let's say all of a sudden you're like, oh, I dropped something. And you get down and you like to look for something that you dropped. Oshe yakum lefnehem kodem boam. Well, you stand there before they come into the room. V'chein yasser hakov v'yishak kodem boam. That's Trumas Hadeshen. V'yesh makilin badavar. And then he quotes others that Mahari Oppenheim, that maybe you could be Mako. Hol v'yadua, since it's known. Shagam they are meser kova. Shagam of the kochavim enem esir makova. M'shachvim l'tzuras hachama rach lahasar. Because you know you're bowing down to the person, not bowing down to the avodah zara. V'tov lahachmir kisvara harishona. Good to be machmir, like the first svara, says the Ramah. So asks the Chasam Sofer, based on the Ramah, so on Mordechai we understand. So Mordechai was machmir, like the Trumas Hadeshen. So what about everybody else? What about Daniel? What about the other members of the Sanhedrin at that time? So why they bow down? So says the Chasam Sofer as follows. He says the machlokes must have been, where is it here? Says the there was Daniel, and he went b'shlichus Mordechai leEsther v'Avar. So he said it must be shemutr lehishtachvos l'saranos itzelim kiven shedarko lehishtachvos lo gam belot zelim. Avol Mordechai says really maybe you were passing like the other sheet. That says the Chasam Sofer, because you see from the story. But Mordechai, why? Because they did it some way that wasn't nikar. Maybe they were able to do it. But what about Mordechai? Mordechai sheachziku le'eved, as we had earlier, Haman was Mordechai's eved. So if Mordechai would have done anything that smacks of hishtachavaya, that would have been nikar, that it was a hishtachav l'shem avodah zara. That's why Mordechai was different. Everybody else, whatever, they didn't have any relationship to Haman, so that's why they could bow down in some way that was not nikar. But when it comes to Mordechai, he was machzim le'eved, v'loshtachav me'olam l'haman, haya yisrael l'shachavas kivin shenire k'mishtachav l'tzalam. So that's why maybe, based on their previous relationship, that's why it was different. Okay, so that has to do two important deos in the Ramah and how it fits into our story. Amar Rabbi Chelba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, Halacha Kedivrei Omer Kula. We paskin that you have to read the entire Megillah. V'yafilu Madara D'mish Yehudi. And even according to the other opinions that say you only have to read part of the Megillah, Tzricha Shedei Kula Ksuva. Raksuva Kula. It has to all be written there. As we had yesterday, if you're writing the Megillah as you're trying to read the Megillah, it doesn't work. You have to have it all written in front of you. Another statement from this person. Megillah Nikre Sefer V'Nikre Sigares. As we had before, Megillah is called both a Sefer and it's called an Igares, a letter. Nikre Sefer, it's called a Sefer Shim Tafra Bechute Pishton Pesula. It's called Sefer. So, on the one hand, it has halachas like a Sefer Torah, stringent, that if you weave the klafim of the Megillah together with strings of flax, psula, like a Sefer Torah is possible, if you use the chutim of flax or linen, v'nikres igeres, but it also has kulas, it's called a letter, shemhita bashloshi chute gidin kishera, that if you were matil, three chute gidin, gidin are the sinews of the animals, if you use those, kasher, but all you have to do is three. As long as you do three, the Sefer Torah has to be woven, every two klafim together has to be woven totally. You can't just have three throughout the cloth. You have to have it totally woven, all up to top to bottom. So when a Megillah, you can be makel, you just have three that are across. And that's good enough. Why it's called an Igeres, it has some kulas. Amar of Nachman, ubavashi yu mishulashin. No, but you can only have three, but it has to be mishulashin. What does mishulashin mean here? Oh, good kasha. Rashi says mishulashin means equidistant from each other. Mishulashin. You gotta go a third of the way down, part of the way down, and put your first, stitch, and then equidistant the next stitch, equidistant the next stitch. It has to be Mishulashin. Tosa says, I agree with Rashi, because after all, we have the same word by Ari Miklat. And it says, the Ari Miklat have to be equidistant from each other, and from the border of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, says Tosfos, I agree with Rashi. That is Rashi and Tosas. The Rif gives a totally different shot. The Rif says, you know what Mishulashin means? It means you got to have one all the way at the edge on top, one all the way at the bottom edge on the bottom, and one mamish in the middle. So that's different. Rashi and Tosas both say you don't put them at the edges. You put them indented, but just all equidistant from each other and from the edge. So the Rif says, oh, you got to put them on the edges, the two edges, and one in the middle. And if you look at the Rambam seems to have a third shot. The Rambam says Mishulashin are, wherever you put the stitches, it has to be a triple stitch. Got to be three stitches in every spot. So says the Shulchan Aruch, what do I do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tafri Sadag Aleph, Imhitil, you're writing a Megillah. We have all Sofrim in the room. Imhitil, Bashloshe Chute Gidim Kshera. Three, that's enough. Ubilvashi Mishulashos. It's just gotta be Mishulashos. Umibnesha Yeshbo Pirushim Shonim. The Shulchan Aruch talking. Because there are so many Pshatim. Tsarech Lasezide Kulam. The Yasa Shalosh Sviros Berosha. You gotta do three Tviros each time, like the Rambam, at the top. V'shalosh besofa at the bottom, v'shalosh b'em se'isa, riff, and then v'tfira achas b'chelek revi'i mitzadzeh, v'tfira achas b'chelek revi'i mitzadzeh, maybe Rashi Tosas are right. So you got to be equidistant. So you got to put another two in the places in between the edges. So we try to be machmer like Rashi and Tosas and the riff and the Rambam. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Good. So the Mishnah, it's called an Igeres and it's called a Sefer. There are other halachas that we treat it like an Igeres. That's why it's folded over, rolled over. You don't hold it like a normal, like rolled up in two hands. That's why the Rav Haigon quotes the Rishonim on this Gemara, that we fold it over back and forth so it looks like an Igeres. There is a pshat in the Margolius HaShas here, where he says, what does it mean it's Kasefer and it's Kenigeres? So he quotes this from the Koydun of a Rebbe. Koydun of a Rebbe. He says, Yadua, ki bein kol madrega u madrega yish bechinas memutza. There's something in the middle of every extreme. Kamo, he says, you have domim and someach, you have inanimate and animate objects, and what's in the middle? Almog, corals. That's somewhere in between rocks and trees. Bein someach lachai, what about between plants and animals? You have adnei hasadeh, which the Mishnah says, I think is in Hulin. You have these animals that are half ground, half animal. Ubein chayla medaber, between people and animals, kof, you have a gorilla. Right? Ubein kol madrego madrego lamalo. Between every two things, you have something in the middle. So he says, al pi kabbalah, yathor shebechsav, yathor shebal peh. You know what's in the middle? Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is in between. Megillas Esther is sefer, tor shebechsav, but it's also, he says, igeres. He says, yes, it's one of the kisvei HaKodesh, but he says it's in the Megillah, it's Mamutza. V'tzricha shedeksuva kula, v'imkara ezevas bal peh yatsa. Right? You have to read it, but you can be missing a bunch of words. Right? We said, up to rov. Somewhere in the middle. It has to be safer. It has to be Igeres. So why there's some halachas that it's like a Torah? It's a mitzvah to read it. But some halachas is not like a Torah. It's in the middle. So I thought you could extend this for a little bit, though. Megillas Esther, maybe, is not just in the middle in terms of Kedusha, but maybe Megillas Esther is the bridge between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. It's the bridge, because that's the last one of Kisvei HaKodesh. Asper says Kisvuni Ladoros. That's the bridge between Tosha Vazal Shara Peh, and maybe that's why, a kasha that we had last week, that's why the Gemara in Maseches Megillah here darshans every single pasuk. More than any other sefer throughout Tanakh, throughout the Gemara. When we have 5, 6 blan in a row, every pasuk we darshan. What are we darshaning so much? Why do we have to have 17 different pshatim about how did they start their shir in the Megillah? You know why? Because this is the bridge of Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebal Peh. So we have to emphasize the Torah Shebal Peh from this. It's a book, it's a sefer, but we have to darshan it because this is the bridge from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebal Peh. So this, the Koydan Aver, the extension of the Koydan Aver, might be the secret to everything that we discussed, everything, the big kasha that we had of why there's so much ink spilled based on every pasuk in Megillah more than any other sefer. Again, it's not just the Kedusha, but it's the bridge between the two. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hakar Megillah b'ksuvah b'nei ksuvim lo yatsa. Second to last line, if you read a Megillah that is not separate Megillah, it is ksuvah b'nei ksuvim. It's attached, it's printed with the Sefer Yehoshua and Shoftim. It's printed with other Sefer Tanakh lo yatsa, you're not yotze. Why? Rashi says, because you need persume nisa. It's got to be known that it's a Megillah. Amar Rav, lo amar elo delo b'chasro m'yasra purta. That's only if it's attached and it's the same size as what it's attached to, that's when it's not allowed. But let's say it's attached and strung together, but it's bigger or smaller than the rest of the svarim that it's attached to, then it's okay because then there's still pursuing Nisa. Levi Bar Shmuel Avikakari Kamedra of Yehuda b'Megillah. One time he was reading the Megillah, Haksuvim ben Haksuvim, that was tied amongst other books. What do you mean? You're not Yotzei. So, end of story. So it must be that he stopped. If you read a Megillah that's attached to others, you're not Yotze. Literally, he hit it on the head, meaning he limited the halacha somewhat, Rashi says. He banged it on the head and limited it. Betzibur shanu. That halacha of you're not allowed to read it if it's ksuva ben aksuvin, that only applies betzibur. But b'yachid, it does not apply. Why? We don't have time, but if you look in Rav Shechler, has a beautiful piece in Ikvei Hatzon on page Kuf Lamed Vav, 3 pages discussing, giving a pshat of why Tzibor might be different than Yachid for this halach. V'yom Rav Chiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, other halachas where we use this lashon of machvi amocha. Shir ha-tefer halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, leaving a little space when you write a sefer Torah, you don't put the strings directly on the top edge and the bottom edge, there's a drop, little space on top. Because you don't want it to, you know, that's the well, at this point we say, halacha moshe mi-Sinai. So halacha moshe mi-Sinai, they gotta leave a little spot from the edge to the weaving. Umachli la mocha, but then Rabbi Yochanan knocked it on its head and said, no, it's not a halacha moshe mi-Sinai, it's not a daraisa. Lo amr el kadesh lo yikra, I know you just do this, so it doesn't rip. If it's strung right on the edge, you don't leave any flexibility, any wiggle room. So if you leave it a little down, so then it's easier, it won't rip. Were it not, in the cave that Moshe and Elio hidden, Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Kisisa hid in a cave when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed by him. And Elio HaNavi, the Navi describes, hid in the same cave. If there was even a tiny, tiny hole in between, in the opening of the cave, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's or would have shined into the cave, even a hole the size of the eye of a needle, they wouldn't have been able to survive. Forget it. It would have been over. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Klo yirani ha'adam b'chay." Person can't live by seeing Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Same person said that. That's why he's brought here. Amr Chay Baraba, Amr Biyochanan. Finally, the last one. He says, "My dechsev aleim kachol advarim shadibar Hashem imachem va'aleihem." On the bahar, on the second luchos, were written everything that Hashem told them at the mountain. This teaches me that Hashem showed Moshe all details of Torah and details of Durabanans, Sofrim, Umasha Sofrim Asidu Mechadish, and also what Sofrim were going to be Mechadish, Umayniyu Mikra Megillah. What do you mean by like Mikra Megillah? Mikra Megillah, that's what was showed. So according to Arp Shah, by the way, it's beautiful. Dafka, that's the example that was seen at Harsinai. Harsinai, Dikduke Sofrim, Dikduke Sofrim. Why Dafka is that one peak? Because that's the bridge. That's the end Torah that's going into the Rabbanans. So that might be why Dafka, that one is picked. Okay, there's more in this line, but let's do a little more though. If we have time, maybe we'll start off with another Magalish Hashash tomorrow on this line. Hakok Sharon Likros is a Megillah. Chutz b'cheresh od v'katan. Anybody can read the Megillah except for a cheresh, a deaf person, shot v'katan. Usually cheresh means deaf mute, but Tosfos says here we're talking about who can read the Megillah, so obviously he's not mute. So therefore, he's only a deaf person. This cheresh means different than other charashim. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan is allowed to read the Megillah for you. So who is the one, who's the Tanakhama that says a katan can't read it? Who's that opinion that says a cheresh and a cheresh can't read it? Who is that opinion? Amar of Masar of Yossi. That's the Shita of Rav Yossi. Titzan, because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, where it says, there's a machlokas if you say Kriya Shema and you don't hear the words that you say, are you Yotze or not? So Rav Yossi says, you're not Yotze. So you see, Rav Yossi holds that the halacha of Mashmiya La'aznov is Ma'akev. If you don't hear it, you're not Yotze. So he must be the opinion of our Mishnah, who says that if a Cheresh reads the Megillah, you're not Yotze. Ask the Gemara, how do you know? How do you know that when our Tanakhama says that a Cheresh can't read it, it means that he can't even read it b'di'eved? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the first line of our Mishnah is referring to Rabbi Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Ulechatchilah hudalau hadi'eved shaper dami. Maybe when our Mishnah says a Cheresh can't read it, that only means lechatchilah they can't read it. But b'di'eved he would be able to read it. So where's it? Lo salka daitach. No. You can't say that it's only al chadchila level. Why? Tiktani cheresh dumi d'shod v'katan. Because of the other two people in the Mishnah. Ma shod v'katan the evanami lo. Av cheresh the evanami lo. The other two people in the Mishnah are for sure possible with the evan. So too, it must be that cheresh is also possible with the evan. Ay, but doma haka di isa maybe not. Maybe cheresh is the chadchila and the other two are with the evan. So Gemara says, okay, fine. You want an answer? I'll give you an answer. Tiktani seifa, because the seifa has the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So the reisha can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Midiktani Sefer, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says, a katan is allowed to do it. Michal de Reisha lav Rabbi Yehuda hi. It must be the Reisha not like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers finally, he says, no. So the Bach takes out the next three lines. Let's skip to Vidilma, two lines down. Vidilma kul Rabbi Yehuda hi. Maybe the Mishnah is really missing some words. The whole Mishnah should be Rabbi Yehuda. Vitshrei gavni katan k'tani la. Really, there are two kinds of k'tanim that are being discussed in the Mishnah. The chisuri mechzera, v'hachik k'tani. There are missing words, and this is how the Mishnah should read. Hakol chair and liquids is a Megillah chus b'cherishot v'katan. Everybody can read the Megillah except for cherishot v'katan, and they're possible even b'di'eved. Ba'med v'ar mamurim b'katan shlo yigil l'chinuch. That only applies to very small katanim. That were magil l'chinuch, ava b'katan shiigil l'chinuch, afil l'chadchila, even l'chadchila, if you have a b'katan shiigil l'chinuch, shev Yehuda machshir b'katan. Because if Yehuda said that katan can read the Megillah, period. Tomorrow we start off with a big kasha of Tosfos with five different answers. Tosfos says, what's wrong with a katan reading the Megillah? A katan is chayav d'rabanan. A gadol is only chayav in Megillah d'rabanan. D'rabanan, mostly d'rabanan. What's the problem? What's the difference between this case and what it says in Maseches Brachos that a katan who ate his fill can be motzi a gadol who only ate a kezayis in Brachos Amazon? Because they're both chayav d'rabanan. What's the difference between that case and this case? We have Tosfos, the Ramban, the Rashba, all the action right here. We talk about the mitzvah of chinuch a little bit as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Today's shiur was sponsored by the Shimon family for Dani's bar mitzvah.